Brown Man himself is here. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Now, why Brown Man?
Oh man, that's a long story. It was a childhood nickname. I'm from Trinidad. I came before there was brown people in Canada.
Before there was brown.
Hard to
people.
Believe, I know, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe in Toronto.
Yeah.
Okay, because out east there were lots of brown people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, keep going.
But I was one of the first. My family was one of the first, and so it actually was a pretty hard racist thing earlier, and I would be knocked around a bit and called brown boy and you know, pushed down by the other kids. And but a good friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine, at one point he started calling me that, and I was, you know, I hit him in the head with my Spider-Man lunchbox and said,
which has got to hurt.
It's got to hurt, especially at 7, you know. and he's like, what's your problem with him, man? It's, aren't you? And we 2 7-year-olds kind of looking at each other going, yeah. So he started calling me Brown Boy and became a nickname from youth. And then when I turned 18, became the Brown Man and the, you know, birthday.
So instead of making it a source of shame, you used it as a source of pride.
Yeah, or became that. I mean, through my friend, essentially, you know. And I mean, in retrospect, that's one hell of a 7-year-old, you know, to be able to see through that.
Well, it's because you hit him with the Spider-Man thing.
Yeah.
Well, it woke him up.
That's right.
It was his Buddha awakening.
It instilled a certain
wisdom. It was the Zen branch of Buddhism where they whack you with a cane if you're falling asleep while you meditate.
Oh, I'm not going to that Zen school.
No. Yeah, because that's got to hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Why pay for that?
Exactly.
All right, you know what? I want to play people some of your music. This is Cruzao, which is the Latin incarnation of you. Tell me a little bit about Knight Rider, or Knight Music.
Knight Rider started. It was a car that David Hasselhoff
started. Do not start with me, young
man. Oh, sorry.
Knight Music. it's been a long morning for me.
The band's a cordless Latin group, and that's how the band started, as an experiment in removing the chordal elements, meaning no piano and no guitar, which has never been done before in Latin American music, because the dominance of that piano thing, it's called a montuno, the bonke, conke, conke, conke. So I wanted to remove that and try and compose in such a way that hopefully you don't miss it. So that's how the band was birthed. And then and Knight Music is a tune. It's actually based on an old standard called You and the Knight and the Music, but we wanted to adapt it into like a really modern Latin jazz sort of take on it.
So this is going to be Latin jazz without the gong, ki, gong, ki.
Exactly, yeah. And somewhere in there, I mean, if you know You and the Night and the Music really well, you might barely recognize it. It's pretty camouflaged. It's buried deep in there, but it's in there.
Let's give it a listen.
Cool.
Nick Ali. Well, there you go. Night Music, Nick Ali and Cruzao.
Man.
Wow, man.
I forget how heavy those guys are, man.
It's heavy stuff.
Yeah. Chendi Leon on drums from Cuba, Paco Luviano on bass from Mexico, Lucito Orbigoso on congas from Peru, and my little brother from...
From here.
Yeah, exactly. I always say he's from Trinidad, but he was born here. He was born in Canada.
Well, there you go.
So I say from Trinidad, and he gives me one of those shut up, man, looks on stage.
Yeah, yeah. Which brothers can do.
Yeah, and he does it very well.
Now, when your brother first started playing with you, you basically said, you suck, go away, didn't you?
But how do you know? Why do you know this?
I don't know. Did you not say that?
I did. Of course I did. He was, but there's a 5-year.
That's very nice.
You're right. And but there's a 5-year gap between us. And
so excuses you.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're like 10 and 15 or 15
right,
and 20,
right.
that's huge.
So did he suck, or were you just being an older
awful.
Brother?
He was awful.
Really?
Sure. Well, we all are. And in his defense, nobody is, as Lena will attest, nobody is worse than trumpet players when they start. Is that not right?
I know Lena Alemano, who was here earlier,
you know,
we were talking
true.
About that. Trumpet players have to go through that gestation period where it's not pleasant.
Brother, we sound like braying donkeys for like the early formative parts of our life.
And now your brother is an important
he doesn't
part
sound
of what
like
you
a
do.
Braying donkey anymore. No. Yeah, absolutely. He's
also sax man?
Yep. He's my right-hand man in a lot of my groups. He plays in my salsa band, Marron Matizal. You speak Spanish, don't you?
Claro que sí.
Oh, man, I say. And he plays in Cruzao. He's you know.
What's the connection when you're up there with him?
Well, man, it goes beyond blood, right? It's so deeply musical. It's funny because we're really different people. We're my father puts it really well. We always seem to arrive in the same place, but by taking very, very different routes. Like, I'm the extrovert. He's the introvert. He's very
You go charging towards it, and he what? Walks side.
He walks. He ponders the steps. You know, he stops and he thinks, and this. I don't know if this is quite the route I want to take. And you know, those who know both of us know. You know, we're very different in our approaches, but musically, we always come to the same place, which is monstrous as an artist to have somebody that I can count on artistically to be able to support and understand my vision, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic. I like, and we, as a result, we get called in horn sections together a lot, and mm-hmm. we've been appearing on records together. Some of the U.S. media actually calls us Brecker Brothers North, which is a, or just the
you studied Brecker with North. The Brecker brother.
Yeah, I studied with Randy for many years in New York. I lived down there for a while, and I slept on his couch and drank his bourbon, and he was very very gracious and formative in my development. A lot of who I am was defined by
what what's the essence of what he actually taught you about the horn?
About modernism and about always looking forward, never look back. I mean, I still am a big Freddie Hubbard head. I spent a lot of time immersed in Freddie Hubbardisms and transcribing his solos and working on that stuff. And he saw me starting to really become ultra absorbed. And so I'll never forget this one lesson. I went in there. And I just lifted like the entire solo off of Bird Like, mm-hmm. which is a great Freddie Hubbard tune, F blues, and he says, "Listen, Brown, you're putting a lot of time into Freddie, and that's great because lineage is important, right? History is important, but from now on, with these lessons, what I want you to start to do is for every hour you spend on Freddie or Miles or any of the greats, you have to spend an hour on Brown." And I was like, "What do you mean? What does that mean?" He says, "Okay, if you spend an hour transcribing Freddie, I want you to go home and put a standard on a music stand and spend an hour improvising without Freddie-isms."
So exploring yourself.
Exactly, yeah. Because that's the great, that's what jazz musicians
should be. That's a great lesson.
Man, absolutely. The voice, right?
Yeah. You were in Cuba a little while ago.
Yeah, I just got back.
And how was that?
Unbelievable. Cubans are, Crusoe was asked to represent Canada for the Havana Jazz Festival. Hugh Fraser was there too, so mm-hmm. it was Hugh Fraser and my band. And it was unbelievable. I mean, the spirituality of those people and the intensity with which they play and the honesty with which the Cubans play.
How do they take to that approach you're giving to Latin? Because you're pushing out. You're going somewhere else.
Yeah.
They're going, where is the Montuno? Where's the...
Exactly.
Where's the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And you're going, no thanks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny you ask that because I'm from Trinidad and I'm a jazz musician. I went to school in New York and I live in Toronto now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a student of Latin American music and culture, right? So no matter how much I'm immersed in it, no matter how much I can speak the language or eat the food and know the tunes and et cetera, there's always that thing in the back of your head of, am I cutting it? You know,
right.
You know what I mean? Because
sure.
I'm not from there. I'm a jazz musician.
Right.
Am I cutting it? Am I Cuban enough? Will they like it?
It's the imposter syndrome.
Yeah, absolutely. And go like, hey, man.
Hey, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
get out of
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
But then you don't even try to behave at that point. You're actually pushing them further along.
Well, this is what they said to me. And this is why it was deeply affirming for me to go down there and have them say, most of them had took me aside and said, your heart beats with the Cuban beat, you know.
Good.
The clave is in my blood. So I felt really moved and honored to have been. They really accepted it. There's a lot of Cruzao fans in Cuba now as a result. And Chucho Valdez himself asked me to perform with Irakire, which is the legendary large ensemble. I mean Irakire is to Cuban music what the Duke Ellington Orchestra was mm-hmm. to jazz music.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to stand there in the middle of this incredible, you know, 22-piece entourage of my heroes and be the only non-Cuban on that stage was a pretty heady, and they pushed me. Man, the trumpet section, you know, we all became fast friends. And the second last tune of the night at the closing ceremonies, the gala event, the lead trumpet player, his name is Basilio Marcus, and he's one of the greatest Cuban trumpet players in the history of the art form. He goes, "Hey, man, Chucho wants you to play at the front of the band." I was like, what do you mean, man? He's like, no, you have to go to the front. I'm not going to the front of this band. And he pushes me. He pushes me off because we're up on a riser. And I kind of half stumble, half fall off the riser.
Yeah.
And there's cameras from all over South America and European media. And all cameras turn on me. And I'm like, so I'm stumped. Kind of.
What do you, when you're in that moment,
right?
Is that bringing out what in you?
Oh, man. Joy. It's funny because I keep asking, were you nervous? Yeah, absolutely. Because it's a sense
not
of...
Not fear.
No, because I felt I can do this. Like, I'm I felt they.
I'm ready.
Yeah, they made me feel that way though, brother. Because like you know, 20-30 minutes earlier, I was like, oh my god,
yeah, sure. Right?
But after 30 minutes of standing up there and them saying you're one of us. I mean, you're really one of us in a genuine I mean, they didn't have to say that. And the Cubans are funny. I mean, if they don't like you, they say nothing to you.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? They don't tell you how bad you are. They just walk away.
Called manners.
So,
I mean, you know, what's the point of telling somebody they sucked, you know?
Oh, man.
You sound like the kind of guy, though, who would actually be pretty hard on himself. So if you weren't doing well, you'd be all over yourself that night.
Well, the standard is, I mean, we have to walk in the footsteps of Miles Davis and Freddie and Duke and Count Basie. And, I mean, that's the lineage. And that's, I mean, we have to, as jazz artists, we have the responsibility, I think, to make sure that the ball is carried forward. And evolution is paramount.
Where are you playing now?
Tomorrow, my trio is playing at the Honeysuckle Lounge. On Sunday, the Alley Brothers, me and Mark, are playing at the Lula Lounge. And next Wednesday and Thursday, Crusal, the band you just played, is at the Rex. And that's the big one. Wednesday and Thursday next week.
Wednesday and Thursday next week, Crusal. This week, tomorrow night, you're playing at?
The trio is playing at the Honeysuckle Lounge.
Uh-huh.
And then Sunday at Lula Lounge with Alley Brothers. You know what? It's all on the website, brownman.com.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, brother, thank you. Pleasure to meet you. I used to watch your show, man, with Matt Zimbel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, take care of yourself and have fun playing this week.
Thanks, brother.
Nick Alley, Brown Man. Nick Alley and the trio. Nick Alley, also known as Brown Man. Nickname given to him when he was 7 years old after an incident with a lunch pail and Spider-Man. That's all I'm allowed to say by law. By the way, the Lula Lounge gig that he talked about, which is on Sunday, January 23rd, is a benefit for an Argentinian flamenco dancer named Noella Gray. And she came to this country, wanted to stay, fell quite ill, and racked up a serious bill for hospital care, and now is applying to stay in this country as a Canadian citizen. And the way they see it is when she pays off the hospital bill, they'll talk about citizenship. So what Nick and the boys are doing is putting together a benefit for her at Lula Lounge to raise that money, hopefully, or a good chunk of it, and they want your help along the way. 9 p.m. Lula Lounge, Sunday, the Alley Brothers will be performing for Noella Gray. I'm Ralph Ben-Murgy. This is Ben-Murgy in the Morning on Jazz FM 91. I'll play you some Quincy Jones just a moment from now.